Hey, welcome to the Crossing Church podcast. You're about to listen to a message from one of our recent meetings, which we trust will bless you. If you're wanting to know more about The Crossing, you can follow us on our social channels or visit thecrossing.org.za. Now lean in and be encouraged by Jesus as you hear his word for you today. You can also drop us a mail at forhim@thecrossing.org.za. The Crossing Church, Christ in us, Christ through us.
Tonight I want to share a little bit about the Father heart of God. And I've entitled this evening, One Heartbeat, Two Thumps. And if I have a look at the Word of God, if I look and I do a word search, I see that the word heart is mentioned somewhere around about 740 times, 750 times, depending on the version that you look at. And it's interesting to see that in the New Testament that the word heart also appears almost 150 times. So it's a critical thing to actually look at. And if I can kind of summarize what I share tonight almost like in advance, I want to maybe summarize it in two scriptures and in two teachings. And the first one is the great commandment, which is to love the Lord your God. And the second one is the Great Commission, which is to make disciples of all nations. And if you had to take those two and put them together and look at the duality of them, that would be the summary in its simplest form of the heart of God. And so I want to talk about one heartbeat, two thumps or two expressions in two intentions of his sovereign will. And it all really begins with God. So it begins in his sovereignty, it begins in his omnipresence, and it begins with his omnipotence. God is most amazing, he's incomparably great, and yet somehow in his sovereign will, he has extended his heart to man. And when I shared 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago, I kind of focused on his glory, where God reveals himself to Moses, and he talks about his glory, and he explains who he is, which for me is probably the greatest scripture, certainly that's had the most impact in my life, which I shared with the guys that evening that I shared. But in that particular scripture, God himself begins to describe himself as the one and only true God, that there's no one like him. And then he goes very, very precisely explaining to us in a specific order of what he's like. So he says that he's compassionate, that he's gracious, that he's kind, that he's slow to anger, he's patient, he's faithful, he's constantly loving, forgiving, and he's just and he's righteous. And so when we look at that and we look through scripture and the truth of God's word through that lens, it helps us understand what God is communicating to us and where he wants to take us. So God is never confused. He's always intentional. And he knows exactly, firstly, who he is and what he's about and what he wants to do. So there's no confusion at all. And why does he explain this to us? Because it's the basis of how we should relate to him. So he explained who he is to us so it would enable us not to be fearful of him, but rather how we should come to him and run to him. It is also the basis on how we should relate to others. And so I shared a little bit on that, and I don't want to get too much into it. I'm just really recapping on some of the things that I spoke about. And so in 2 Corinthians 18, which was really the basis of what I shared about, is our own transformation from our godlessness into his very nature. So we are... there's nothing good in us outside of God. But God, in his mercy and his grace, is working in our hearts that we take on his divine nature. And so I shared on that. And so we are ongoingly transformed into the image of Christ, and we bear the same nature in him because of the work he's done in us. So that's really just the foundation I want to lay this evening before I get into these two key things, the two heartbeats, as I see them in the scripture and the word of God. And I want to start with the second one first, if I can, and I'll tell you why I've looked at them from this point of view. the second heartbeat, and when you listen to that heartbeat, what actually happens is the human heart, which is built by God's design, by the way, when it contracts, you hear that double beat. And what's actually happening, it's one contraction, but two sounds that's coming. And what's actually happening is that you've got two valves that are opening up in perfect unity. And what's actually happening is one is allowing oxygen-enriched blood to go through the body, and the other one's receiving oxygen-depleted blood. And it's a bit like the picture of God reaching out to man. As the church, we are called to take out the life of God into a world that's actually dying, and yet they come in and they become part of the church. It's a wonderful picture when you look at the human heart as that analogy. And so I want to start with the second heartbeat, if I can, which is really the great commandment. And that is quite simply this, is for us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, all our strength, everything that was in us. And it's an amazing to think that of all the things in creation, that's what God desires most. That we would have this unity with Him and we would return to Him the same love He feels for us. It's an amazing thing. And so it's with all of us, everything that we are, that we should turn back and honor God and just accept Him and love Him the way He accepts and loves us. And He is the most amazing, kind, gracious person you'll ever meet. There's a depth and a breadth and a height to God's, every single one of God's characteristics that are immeasurable. And the only boundaries they have are those that are set by God Himself. So just as God knows who He is, because He says He's the Lord, His name, and the Lord, His position, we should also know who we are. And I used part of that analogy of where we came from and what God's changing us to. But I want to take you just a few brief points of what the Word of God says we are. And it's something that we should always remember, and it's something that we should breathe, because it's the truth of God. So once we were enemies of God, that's what the Word says. But now, because through Christ, we are sons and daughters of the Most High God. That is a phenomenal truth. The transition from enemies to sons and daughters. It's amazing. Once we were strangers, but now we're brothers and sisters in Christ. This group of people here together, our paths would never have crossed without Christ. And yet God has translated us from a people that didn't have a spiritual family into this thing that is as close and as real and offered better than our own family that is blood tied. It's an amazing thing which God has actually done. The Word tells that once we were actually captives to sin, and now we are free. We live free from the bondage of sin. We are empowered by His Holy Spirit to live a totally different life. We are not where we no longer subjected and to the bondage of sin. Once we were just a people that were fallible with simple human understanding, where we make decisions based on circumstances. But now we have the resource of God Himself, where we can receive godly wisdom, vision, and understanding. And not only that, but He gives us spiritual gifts as well. So there's this amazing translation from what we were to what God has called us to be. Once we were self-centered, where we actually just lived for ourselves. But now God has given us a purpose with eternal impact. When you begin to think and mull over those truths, it is amazing what God has purchased for us. And once we were alienated from Him, but now the very Spirit of God lives within us. How is that possible outside of God's design? Once we were under God's judgment, but now we're His treasured possession. What a translation from where we were to what we are now, according to God's sovereign will and purpose. It's amazing, eh? And just as God knows who He is, we should never be confused about who we are. It's a real, real truth, guys. It's just important for us to understand who God is. It's just as important for us to understand who we are. Because that truth will change our lives forever. And so we're to relate to one another the same way that God relates to us, with grace, compassion, patience, love, forgiveness, kindness, etc. And for us, what he's called us to is to live a life that we live with passion in our lives, that we have actually fire in our souls, and that we live with joy in our hearts. If we think about how we used to live, we used to chase everything to fill this void that God has created in us. And there was nothing on this planet that will fill it except Jesus. There is nothing that will fill the void that has been created in us except that which God is designed to fill, which is with himself. And that is why, for us, we've given this commandment to love him. Because when we do that, we actually receive that which he had intended for us in the first place. What about the first heartbeat? The first heartbeat actually is for the lost. And why do I say it's the first heartbeat? Well, quite simply this. Before you had the church, you had the lost. And so when you look at Jesus, when Jesus first went into the wilderness, he faced all temptation, right? He then came out of the wilderness, and what did he do? He went into a synagogue in Jerusalem, and he began to teach, and he opened up the scriptures, and he began to read from Isaiah 61. And Isaiah 61 says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the pure, proclaim the good news to the poor, proclaim freedom for the prisoners, recovery of sight to the blind, freedom for the oppressed, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So when God first reaches out to us, he first reaches out to the lost that they might become the church. So the first heartbeat is always towards the lost. And that's why it's so important for us to keep the two in tension. You cannot have one without the other. And so the great commandment is what? Is to love the Lord our God. But the great commission is to go and make disciples of all nations. So let's just think about that a little bit. If we focus just on the great commandment, if it's just about us and God, and just about us loving one another, it's not a true picture of what God wants. Because he's always called us to go, to be a going people. And if we end up just trying to go and not drawing our source from him and loving one another, we will be an empty people without the power of God in us. Because without the Holy Spirit in us, without that great love that we carry, what are we exporting? Then all we're doing is we are taking another ritual, another religion that is absolutely lifeless. And so it's critical that we carry the two in absolute tension. None is more important than the other. They're both equally as important. And so Jesus goes further to say, he says, what are we? He says this in Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 16. He calls us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. It's an amazing thing that God would partner with us, that he would choose to fill us with his Spirit and then call us the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And if I begin to look at the reason for that and the purpose of that, well, what does light do? Well, actually, it's a waypoint or a beacon. And what do waypoints and beacons do? Well, they give you direction, right? So a waypoint will always lead you to something or somewhere. And in this case, the somewhere and the something is actually to Jesus Christ. It's to someone. And so for us to be the light of the world means that we need to point people to Jesus. And for us to understand that, it's not just that we are the way to Christ. It's the truth of God that we actually lead people to. And so being the light of the world means that we can actually give people direction in life. It's far more than that. It's not so much about direction according to human understanding. In fact, it's exactly the opposite. But it's what's right in God's eyes, according to God's word. And so we are able to point people. It's like giving a person a GPS bearing. You say, this is the waypoint. This is it. And that waypoint is Jesus Christ. Not only that, the light is we begin to show people an example of how to live. This is not just a theology that has absolutely no practicality to it. But we become examples of how to live, and people see the difference in us because what of Christ has actually done for us. And so it applies in all aspects of life. It's not about Sunday. It's about Monday to Sunday, from the workplace to the quiet place. And so we carry a responsibility to share with others what God has taught us. He also said that we are the salt of the earth. Well, what does salt do? Salt brings healing. Brings healing. Brings flavor. Brings abundant life. Life will never satisfy you. All the things on the earth will never satisfy you unless we have Christ in our lives. Solomon tried it. In fact, he made a mission on trying it. And he had all the earthly resources in the world. And then again he said, everything is meaningless under the sun. Another thing that salt does, it actually creates the thirst. And that thirst is a thirst for righteousness. And so we're called to be the light and the salt. And just as the moon reflects the sun, so our lives should reflect the truth of God, which is Jesus Christ. And we let our lives shine so that others can see our good works and give glory to God. That's what it's about. It's not about us getting kudos. It's about Jesus. And to shine like the sun and to shine for Jesus is actually scriptural. You can go into the New Testament and you'll see that word appear 10 times. And so we are called to shine like stars in the night for the sun. And so we relate to the lost the same way Christ relates to us, again through compassionate grace and mercy and love. And so God's primary concern is for the lost, and that's why Jesus died. You know, there would be no body of Christ without Jesus dying. How would we ever become the firstborn, born again, without Jesus? And so for all of us, we were once lost. And so we must never forget where we come from, and we must never forget the task that God has entrusted to us. And we must never forget to tell the lost of his love. And then it's a universal call to every single born-again believer, and we have to embrace it. And so if I had to say, well, what is the key to this thing? Well, the key is that it's not our heart that must beat for God, but God's heart that must beat in us. It's not our heart that must beat for God, but rather it's God's heart that must beat in us. And so the great commandment to love the Lord God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul, all your strength, and the great commission to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that Jesus has commanded us. And that is the end and the key, as far as I understand in Scripture. It is a wonderful picture of God's heart towards these people. So how do we do it? How do we go about it? How do we get it? Simply ask for it. Simple prayer. Father, teach me. Father, lead me.